ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 13, Text 4, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Shutasya pungsam suchira shamasya.
Shutasya pungsam suchira shamasya.
Nanvanjasa suribir iritortaha.
Nanvanjasa.
Tad-guna-nu-shravanam mukunda. Padaravindam hridayeshu yesham. Shrutasya pungsam suchira shramasya. Nanvanjasa suribhir iritortaha. Tad tad gunanu shravanam mukunda. Padaravindam hridayeshu yesham. Translation. Persons who hear from a spiritual master with great labor and for a long time must hear from the mouths of pure devotees about the character and activities of pure devotees. Pure devotees always think within their hearts of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead who awards his devotees liberation. Purport. Transcendental students are those who undergo great penance in being trained by hearing the Vedas from a bona fide spiritual master. Not only must they hear about the activities of the Lord, but they must also hear about the transcendental qualities of their devotees who are constantly thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord within their hearts. A pure devotee of the Lord cannot be separated from the lotus feet of the Lord for even a moment. Undoubtedly, the Lord is always within the hearts of all living creatures, but they hardly know about it because they are deluded by the illusory material energy. The devotees, however, realize the presence of the Lord, and therefore they can always see the lotus feet of the Lord within their hearts. Such pure devotees of the Lord are as glorious as the Lord. They are, in fact, recommended by the Lord as more worshipable than He Himself. Anyone know the quote to go with that? Who said it? Brijabasi will know for sure. Madbhakta Puja Bhyadika. We find in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam when Krishna is instructing Uddhava in the process of worship. Put your legs down. You can sit on a chair if you can't sit properly. He tells him that worship of my devotee is greater than worship of myself. Worship of the devotee is more potent than worship of the Lord. It is therefore the duty of the transcendental students to hear of pure devotees as explained by similar devotees of the Lord, because one cannot explain about the Lord or his devotee unless one happens to be a pure devotee himself. Shutasya pungsam suchira shamasya nanvanjasa suribhir iritortaha tat tat gunanu shravanang mukunda padaravindang hridayeshu yesham. So I chose this verse to speak on because I thought it was very suitable for introducing this camp. This Shravana Kirtan camp is the title that is used for many of such camps which I'm involved in. I thought it was very suitable, this verse in particular. There are many, many verses which speak about the glories and the importance of hearing about Krishna, this verse speaks about hearing the glories of devotees of Krishna. There are many such verses in the Vedic literature. And I specifically wanted to, or thought this would be suitable for here, because this is a relatively small gathering in which specifically my disciples and those who regularly like to hear from me have been called. So the point is, Srila Prabhupada translates this, persons hear from a spiritual master. He makes that point in particular. Another reason I thought it was suitable, because discussing the glories of hearing about the pure devotees, and myself, at the present time, I am involved most of the day, every day, in meditating upon Srila Prabhupada's, well, Srila Prabhupada and his movement, because I'm in what appears to be the final stages of my drafting the first volume of a book called The Mood and Mission of Srila Prabhupada. So I thought it was suitable for myself also. Of course, it would have been much more suitable if we were on the bank of the Ganga or the Yamuna. There is a little river down there, isn't there? What's it called?
Same as the village.
Same as the village. That's a funny name for a river. Same as the village river. Yesenitsa. You knew I wouldn't be able to pronounce it properly. How do you say river in Rijeka? Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, but it's not the Ganga, Yamuna, Godavari, or Sarasvati, or any such river. So, what should we do? We all take a flight over to India. Well, there is a verse, which I'm just going to read, which Rupa Goswami... So, Rupa Goswami has included in his compilation called Padavali, compilation of verses. And the verse goes as follows. Tatraiva Ganga Yamuna cha tatra Godavari tatra Sarasvati cha Sarvani tirthani vasanti tatra Yatra chuto dara kata prasangaha. The Ganga, Yamuna, Godavari, Sarasvati, as well as all tirthas, all holy places of pilgrimage, stay where the transcendental topics of the infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead are narrated. So if we go on chanting about Krishna, then Ganga, Yamuna, Sarasvati, Godavari, all the holy rivers, and all holy places are present, because all the holy rivers and all the holy places are servants of Krishna. Tirtha means a ford. What is a ford? It's a kind of car, right? Named after Henry Ford. But the original meaning of the word ford, which is not very well known even to most English speakers nowadays, is a shallow place in a river which makes it easy to cross. So Tirtha is called a ford, because it's a place in which it is easy to cross over from this material world to the spiritual world. So hearing and chanting about Krishna is actually more powerful than visiting various tirthas. Because if one visits a tirtha, yat tirtha buddhi salile nakar hijid janeshva vigneshu sa eva gokara. If one visits a holy place but doesn't hear from the saintly persons gathered there, then he's not very intelligent. He's missed the point of visiting, because even animals like cows and buffaloes, they also go to the river and drink the water and take a nice bath in the river. You don't have buffaloes in this country, do you? No. buffaloes need to get in the water. They need to get in the water at least once a day. So to go to a holy place without hearing from devotees is definitely better than going to a Vyasa Tirtha, a holy place for crows. The crows' holy place. They also have their holy places. Just like the brothel district of Zagreb. I presume there is one. Hopefully none of you know. Probably the book distributors know where it is. Because you cover the whole city, right? You know where it is, right? But in the daytime when you go out, it's not busy anyway. If you go in London, our center in London's in Soho, and Soho's a notorious area for decades. And even in the daytime, you see the pretty young girls in their miniskirts standing outside, smiling. And if you pay the right amount of money, you can have a good time, according to the crows. And if you just go inside the door of the temple, then you come to Vaikuntha, in the middle of hell, in the middle of the hellish situation. The devotees are worshipping Radha and Krishna and discussing about Krishna, and without this Shravana and Kirtana, there may be temples, but they'll turn into museums, more like a museum. When Srila Prabhupada came to Vrindavan with his Western disciples, first Western disciple, he came alone with Kirtanananda, and then later he came with a whole group of disciples, and they noted how there was. The Western disciples noted how there are so many temples, but they all seem to be in a state of disrepair and uncleanliness, and no one seemed really to care too much about the situation at all. Why is that? How did it come to such a situation? Well, Srila Prabhupada gave an indication of that in a class that he gave in Mayapur, in which he noted that several devotees were not present. And then Srila Prabhupada changed the whole course of the topics that he was talking about and said that unless devotees, they regularly hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, then the effect of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam won't be there. Nashta prayeshva padreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatyutama shloka bhakti bhavati naishtiki. By regularly hearing about Krishna, the heart is cleansed and one comes to the platform of dedicated devotional service. So if one doesn't regularly hear and chant about Krishna, and specifically that should be Satang Prasangang Mamavirya Sangvidaha. One should hear in the association of devotees Satam. And Satam means here, It's a very broad term, but we can understand that it means devotees who are minimally living on the principle of anyabhilashita shunya bhakti. They're performing devotional service for the sake of performing devotional service, because they want to please Krishna, not for any personal benefit. So without that kind of regular hearing and chanting, Srila Prabhupada said, then instead of seeing the vigraha, which means the deity who the devotees were worshipping, you'll see the vigraha as a golagraha, which means a burden, simply a burden. And we do see in the worldwide Krishna consciousness movement at the moment, it's quite visible in some places that the temples are empty at Mangalarti. They still have Mangalarti, but there are more deities than devotees present. Of course, all the demigods may be present, but visible to our human eyes, there are more deities than devotees, and generally the place isn't very clean, and you say, well, there's no one to clean it. And then you get used to that and you don't care, and you come back to the situation that we were, that Srila Prabhupada brought his disciples to. Still, he brought them to Vrindavan, but Srila Prabhupada's idea of establishing a temple there was to revive the spiritual life of Vrindavan, which has happened. And Vrindavan has become very different from the external perspective. It's become very different to what it was, because when there is spiritual success, there will be materialistic people will come. Because when there are big temples and many people coming, then materialistic people will want to come and make a business out of it. The idea, someone selling bananas, a banana seller. You go to Ratha Yatra, then you can sell bananas and have darshan of Jagannath also. The main thing is to sell the bananas, but you get some spiritual benefit on the side. But pure devotees don't go to Ratha Yatra to sell bananas. They go for worshipping Jagannath. Ratha Yatra is just coming up. Huh? First time in many years, I'm not going to be present at a Ratha Yatra in India on the Ratha Yatra day, or any Ratha Yatra, with literally hundreds of thousands of people present. You can't imagine sitting here in Liga how the kind of crowds that turn up. So Srila Prabhupada warned, without that spirit of being eager to hear and chant about Krishna, then everything will decline. So he warned very seriously about that. So thank you all for coming. This is a camp for hearing and chanting about Krishna, specifically in the mood that Srila Prabhupada brought to the Western country. Srila Prabhupada didn't bring Krishna consciousness as another religion, or as a means to let's build a temple and show the deity and ask people for donations and live comfortably. That wasn't Srila Prabhupada's purpose in coming. And that's not your purpose for coming here. Your purpose in coming here is to hear and chant about Krishna with the aim of developing pure devotional service. Are you already cultivating pure devotional service? Krishna Nushilanam. And that will gradually come to the perfectional stage, especially by hearing and chanting about Krishna. And it becomes very blissful when many devotees come together and hear and chant about Krishna. You can do it alone also. Srila Prabhupada sometimes related that we can chant even if there's no one present. We can speak the glories of Krishna even to the four walls. Who's going to hear if the four walls are there? Krishna will hear. We will hear. And Srila Prabhupada actually did this when he dictated his, what became the introduction to his Bhagavad Gita as it is. There was no one present, as far as we know. Later, Srila Prabhupada, by his speaking about Krishna, many people came to join him in chanting about Krishna. If we remember his prayer to Krishna, Markirne Bhagavad Dharma, he, in that prayer, he speaks about speaking about Krishna. How will these people be delivered from the lower modes of nature if they hear the message regularly, repeatedly? He didn't speak about chanting in that prayer, but if they hear properly. So later, when the movement developed, then devotees had the idea that we can sit Srila Prabhupada, in, or we can invite Srila Prabhupada to sit in front of a camera, and we'll make recordings of Srila Prabhupada speaking, studio lectures. But Srila Prabhupada did a few, and they're still available. But he stopped after a few. He didn't like it very much. He said in this regard, if I alone sit down in this room, that is one kind of ananda. Do you all know what the word ananda means? It means happiness. There are many words for happiness in English, but there's no happiness. In English, there's happiness, bliss, ecstasy, pleasure. They're all more or less synonyms, but there's none. In Sanskritum, there are also different words. It's an important factor in human life, we find in. Probably in your own language, you can see there are different words for happiness, different levels and different phases of happiness. So we can understand it's important. Just it's an important factor in our lives. Just like so I've heard in the language of some Eskimos, there are 12 different words for snow. Okay. According to the kind of, as in English, there's rain, there's drizzle, there's sleet, there's raining cats and dogs, because it's very much part of the English way of life. So different kinds of rain. So different kinds of happiness, levels of happiness, it's very... But the most common word, sukh, of course, which is not exactly the same, but anyway, Prabhupada used this word, ananda, and if you... read Srila Prabhupada's books, you'll pick up and learn so many words like this, even if you live in Croatia, because it's a word which comes very commonly. Actually, in Bhagavad Gita, we'll find the word sukh comes up more. I didn't count, but it seems to me like that. And sukh gives the idea generally of material pleasure, and it's paired with the word dukkha. Sukha-dukha, sukha-dukha samekritva. The pair come, this pair of words, sukha and dukkha, happiness and distress, this pair of words comes up again and again in Bhagavad Gita. But ananda gives the idea of a more intrinsic and deeper happiness. So Srila Prabhupada said, if I alone sit down in this room, that is one kind of ananda. But when so many devotees come and we speak and talk with them about Krishna, that is better ananda, real ananda. If I speak alone, that is also ananda. But if I speak with many in a festival, in a function, that is better ananda. So Srila Prabhupada didn't say this specifically in relation to his sitting in front of a camera with only the cameraman present. But he said it on a different occasion. So Srila Prabhupada is making the point that if there are many devotees present, it becomes more blissful. Bahubir militva yat kirtanam sankirt iti sankirtanam. The definition of sankirtan is when many devotees join together. That is called kirtan. And generally we have the experience that if there are just one or two of us, it may be difficult to get enthused about a kirtan. If you have to get up early in the morning in the cold winter and there's only yourself or one or two others, then it seems to make a lot more sense not to get up. But if you think there's going to be a blissful Mangalati with so many devotees, then you become more enthusiastic to get up. Of course, the great pure devotees, they don't have such considerations. They may not even sleep, but we're not on that level. Apologies to anyone if you are on that level. But it's more blissful when there are many devotees. Srila Prabhupada is making this point. It's very enlivening when many devotees come together. By the influence of Kali Yuga, when there are a large number of people, generally speaking, not speaking about devotees here, then they divide into groups and factions and argue and fight with each other. Or in a big city, they tend to become impersonal. There was a video I saw some time ago of an actor was paid to lie down on the street in a busy thoroughfare in London with many people walking past. And he lay there for about half an hour before someone just gave him a little poked him a bit with their shoe to see if he's all right. They did the same thing in a village, and within 2 or 3 minutes someone had come up and said, "Are you all right?" The point being that in the city with so many people present, no one cared. It may be also that they thought that if they tried to help him, they might get arrested, because that could happen in the crazy world we live in at the present time. "Why are you disturbing me?" Make a case against him. Or it may be a ruse, a trick to that you come and see what's wrong and then you grab his wallet or something like that. He bends down and then someone pulls the wallet out of his back pocket if he's so naive to keep the wallet in his back pocket in London. So when materialistic people come together, many people come together, then they tend to become savage, actually, or less well-behaved. I seem to be quoting this a lot nowadays, but there was a book written, I believe, in the late 1960s by the British naturalist Desmond Morris called The Human Zoo, in which he analyzed that just like animals who are confined in a zoo, they become psychotic and start to behave in violent ways or antisocial ways that they would not normally do in the wild. And Desmond Morris analyzed the situation in which humans are crammed into cities as being similar, that the humans also act in abnormal and antisocial ways. That's the tendency, is there. But when devotees come together, there should be more bliss. Of course, sometimes we find that even among devotees, there are disagreements. Really? That shouldn't happen, should it? Well, it does. But the antidote to that, as Srila Prabhupada said, I don't remember exactly the quote, but Srila Prabhupada said that instead of meetings, resolutions, revolutions, and no solutions, there should be kirtan. So if we're engaged in hearing and chanting about Krishna, that is the purificatory process. And that becomes very blissful to hear and chant about Krishna. Satang prasangan mama virya sangvido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kataha tajoshavad ash, what is it, apavargavatmani shadharatir bhaktir anukramishati. By hearing about Krishna in the association of devotees, satang prasangan mamavid, Kapila Dev says to his mother, by hearing topics of my glories, it becomes very pleasing to the ear and to the heart. Maybe it's very pleasing and like a tonic, boosts us up. Tajoshvanad ashvapavargavatnani. By such hearing, one makes spiritual advancement, on the advancement on the path of getting free from this material existence, and one's faith increases, and then taste increases, and ultimately, in a gradual process, one comes to the level of pure devotional service. Of course, nowadays, by modern technology, we have the system that you can speak and it goes around the world. Grace of YouTube. And there are other systems, but YouTube is the most popular. The internet in general. So that can be. But still, it's nice. We could all sit in a little bubble and just be on our own and not interact with anyone and just watch things on YouTube. And that's what civilization is coming to more and more, isn't it? How many friends do you have? Oh, let me look on my Facebook account. Friend means someone you never saw them. You don't know who they are, what they're really like. You don't even know what their real name is. But there's a friend on Facebook. Oh, that reminds me, going back to my miserable past, one of the books we had to read at school, what was it called? I can't remember the name or the author, but it was about the future of mankind, in which people live in little cells, like beehive or something like that, and they just live alone, and they get all this. They get virtual sense pleasure through technological means, and their food is provided for them, and this and that, this and that. So it's becoming like that. And people, they're psychologically, they're just on their own. They feel they don't need anyone else. They have no emotional needs to live with anyone. As in Finland, once I went there and I was put in the apartment of the temple president. I was put there to stay. And it's a one-room apartment. And there's a whole big building full of one-room apartments. It's for people who live on their own. So many people, they prefer to live on their own. If you live with someone, it's troublesome. So just live alone. I guess there are a lot of people like that out there, right? Living there like trees, they become trees. They're so impersonal, they don't like to talk to anyone. Become a tree. What do you have to do to become a tree? Let's not find out. If you become a tree in Krishna Loka, that's nice, but otherwise... That's the Mayavadis. It's impersonal. We say it's impersonal when you don't like to interact with others. And that's what happens with impersonalists, right? They don't want to live in this world. They don't want to have relationships with anyone. They don't want to take the trouble of interacting with anyone. Their idea of ananda, bliss, is just to escape from everything and chill out eternally in the Brahma Jyoti. That's their idea of bliss. We might also sometimes feel like that. Sometimes, I must admit, I do myself. I want to get away from it all when things are getting a bit intense. I just want to go away and take a breath. Do you have back-to-back shifts? That means you have a 12-hour shift and then you change from the day to the night and then you have another 12-hour shift right on top of that? Sometimes. Doctors in India, they do that. They have back-to-back shifts, which means that you have a 12-hour shift and then immediately following that you have another 12-hour shift, which means you're working 24. You want a break after that, don't you? You're dreaming of what? The bed. Bliss is a bed. But if you're confined to bed, then that's a kind of curse, isn't it? To be bedridden. Yeah, there comes a time where you might just want to take a little rest and get away from it all. Get away. Just take a walk in the country, get away from everyone. But if you're in that situation permanently, that's a punishment. Solitary confinement is considered one form of torture, psychological torture. So the Mayavadis, their idea is, I'm so fed up with this material world. Good, that's a good realization. I'm so fed up with this material world that I just want to go away and chill out in the Brahma Jyoti forever. But there's no real bliss there. There's no bliss of serving Krishna. So we've come together here not to be impersonal, but to be personal. We should learn how to be personal, not only in dealings, but also the protocol and the etiquette for that. This egalitarianism, which is, if in one word you wanted to to define Sweden, that would be it, wouldn't it? The Swedish people, egalitarianism. We're all the same. No one's higher than anyone else, and I am you and you are me, and we are all together. But they're not together. It's the idea that everyone should be the same and no one should be higher than anyone else. But in personalism, it begins with the guy at the top, called in colloquial Hindi, Uparwala, the guy up there. The guy in English, they might say, the big guy in the sky. God himself, he's the boss. And real personalism begins with, not by going to some kind of love-in where you be nice to everyone, embrace them. We don't see any distinction between men and women, so men embrace women, just any woman. It's just because we're all loving each other. Well, that's bogus, because you end up a dog who just can walk up to any female and jump on her. So that's the kind of birth you get by being nice in the wrong way. But first of all, we should understand that Krishna's on top, that the Mayavadis do not want to understand. So they don't get the bliss of Krishna consciousness. Krishna's on top, and there is a hierarchy. We have to relate to others in a hierarchical way. It begins in childhood. One respects the father and mother, if one has a father and mother to grow up with. Karl Marx wanted to abolish the family. Why should there be fathers and mothers? Just like breeding chickens, even then there has to you incubate the egg and then the chicken comes out, and what do you need a mother for? And the father's nowhere to be seen anyway. But in cultured society, there is a system. There is a system whereby it's recognized. Everyone has a particular situation. Varnashram, everyone has a particular situation. Everyone has a particular role to play. And relationships are built on that basis. And especially the Varnashram system that is meant to lead to Krishna consciousness. Everyone can live together if they know how to live together. Modern civilization is a failure. It has produced all kinds of gadgets for sense gratification, but it's not produced happiness because they don't know the formula for happiness. Everything should be centered on Krishna. And human life is meant not for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, but human life is meant for cultivating Krishna consciousness. So we've come to hear these topics, because in materialistic life, it's just accepted, no one discusses it philosophically, but it's just accepted that the aim of life is eat, drink, sleep, be merry and enjoy, for tomorrow we shall all be dead. Or there may be somewhat altered version of that, is that We are here in this world to enjoy ourselves, and we all believe in Jesus, and then we'll all go to Jesus, and then we'll enjoy ourselves in heaven. And all the others will go to hell. And that's one of the main enjoyments in heaven, looking down at the people burning in hell. So we can enjoy ourselves in heaven. So it's the same mentality, actually. We shall enjoy ourselves. We're here to enjoy ourselves. But we come together to hear and chant about Krishna with the understanding that we're here to cultivate Krishna consciousness. And that begins with understanding that we're not here to enjoy ourselves. We'll definitely become happy by Krishna consciousness, but it doesn't work by trying to become happy. The more we try to become happy, the more we become selfish. Krishna consciousness means selflessness. And then that happiness comes from ahaituki bhakti, without any personal desire. Those who give themselves fully to Krishna, Krishna gives himself back to them, and Krishna is all bliss. So we can't even handle as much bliss as Krishna can give us. So Krishna gives different devotees at different levels, certain levels of bliss. So we've come here for this. It's Shravan Kirtan Camp. Well, we may say, well, I can do that on the internet, right? Yeah, you can have your whole morning program on the internet. Just tune in to ISKCON Mayapur. Does ISKCON Zagreb put the... I don't think so, not yet. The classes go on? Yeah. Okay, you're in a lot of competition there. I don't think ISKCON Zagreb's going to get as many hits as Mayapur. But if you show the Mangalati, of course it's at a different time. But you have a monopoly, is it, for Croatian language? Any? So that's good. So the Shravan and Kirtan you can do on the internet nowadays. So what do you need to come here for? Well, there's another point, association. We come to associate with devotees who have a similar aspiration to serve Krishna. Srila Prabhupada spoke in Mayapur during one of his famous talks about discussion about Varnashram must be introduced. So he was saying that the real point is to hear Varnashram is all meant to facilitate Krishna consciousness, but especially the hearing part, Srila Prabhupada said, without becoming a brahmana, nobody is interested to hear. So you may think that, oh, I have to get Brahmin initiation, then I'll become interested to hear. But it's not that by putting a thread on one's shoulder that one becomes interested to hear, any more than by giving someone a stick and calling them a sannyasi, do they become free from material desires. I can personally attest to that. It's not just by giving a stick that all of a sudden, oh, I became a Paramahamsa. We're more realistic. The Mayavadis have a very strange idea. Dandagrahena matrena naro narayana bhavet. When you become a sannyasi, you become narayana, you become God. Well, according to the Mayavada idea, there is already plenty of narayans in the street. Daridra narayanas. That's their rascal idea, that God is in the street, a poor man, so you can feed him. But the point is that brahmana means one who's interested in Brahman, one who's at the, come to this level, atato brahma jignasa. Now I got this human form of life, I should inquire into the ultimate reality. Otherwise, we find many people are interested to hear Shotavyadini Rajendra Nirang Santi Sahasrasha. The people have many topics they like to hear about. What's the hot topic in Croatia at the moment? Does anyone follow the news in Croatia? What's the big thing? I used to see in Ireland before I joined this movement, see the daily paper, and the daily paper was about the farmers' protests. And yeah, the farmers are protesting the price of, they're not getting enough money for their potatoes or whatever. So that's the hot topic, the big thing that everyone's talking about. There may be so many things. I think I didn't see the news, did I? One or two days, something like that. The big thing is the President of the United States going to push the button and obliterate Iran? That's the big news. So there are so many topics to discuss. It's interesting. You might sometimes see that the newspaper, some newspapers put in the attic for storage or something, and then you come 20 years later and you see the big headlines and big burning issue, and you don't know anything about it. In the one of the writings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes about, well, we're not very interested in the latest British attempts to invade Afghanistan. I never even heard about the British. I mean, that was in the 19th century or early 20th century. So we don't know anything about, who knows about, maybe a few historians here and there know about the attempts of the British to invade Afghanistan. It was a big, big topic at the time. And now who cares? It's just come and gone. So people who are interested to know about that which is permanent, that which is beyond this samsara, this world of birth and death, they're called brahmanas. So this hearing, this is specifically Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam. The topics should be discussed, the topics concerning the understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, for people who are interested to hear, pious people are interested to hear as entertainment. Pious people may be entertained by telling stories from the Puranas. They may be entertained by hearing stories from Ramayana. That's a very good way to get people to become attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead without laying any heavy philosophy on them. It may be that many people who hear Srimad Bhagavatam, they're also not very spiritually serious. They want to be entertained. And we'll find in the Vrindavan area, there are so many Bhagavad Kathas going on. When the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam are spoken, but in a manner that is meant to entertain rather than to give knowledge of Krishna and how we are to surrender to Krishna. So we've come for this association in which we want to hear about topics of Krishna in a way that will uplift us toward Krishna. Not, of course, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, even in that entertaining style, the mind may become attached to Krishna, but not necessarily in the anyabhilashita shunya manner, not in the manner where one is cultivating devotion to Krishna without any personal desire. So anything apart from that cultivating Krishna consciousness without personal desire, that is called Kaitava Dharma, or cheating religion, and that is rejected in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second verse, Kaitava Dharma Projitotra. Herein, cheating religion is completely kicked out. In the purport to that verse, Srila Prabhupada, he writes as follows, dharma kaitava projito atra paramo nirmat saranam satam vedyang vasava matra vastu shivarang tapa trayon mulanam shrimad bhagavate mahamuni krite king bhaparai ishvaraha sadhyo hridiyavarudya tetra kriti bisu srushibis takshanat. So in that verse, the the benefit and the importance of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is discussed. Here there's no cheating religion. It's meant for topmost Paramahamsas, but it's also suitable for persons who are eager to serve Krishna, and eager to hear, and eager to come to that platform, which they may do very quickly by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in the proper way. So what is that proper way? Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport to that verse, less fortunate persons are not at all interested in hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. The process is simple, very simple. Process is simple. To make spiritual advancement, one may go to some obscure, remote spot in the Himalayas and perform severe austerities. Not required. One can live comfortably. But the process is simple, and you can live comfortably and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. But the Srila Prabhupada writes, the process is simple, but the application is difficult. What does he mean by that? Well, let's read on. Unfortunate people find enough time to hear idle social and political conversations, but when invited to attend a meeting of devotees to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, they suddenly become reluctant, or they indulge in hearing the portion of the Bhagavatam they are unfit to hear. So the application is difficult. Application means we have obstructions. Within our own minds, we have objections to properly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And so it becomes distasteful for us. We don't like to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, or materialistic people don't like to hear it. Oh, wait a minute, I skipped. The proper method for hearing, the proper method for receiving this transcendental message is to hear it submissively. A challenging attitude cannot help one realize this transcendental message. One particular word is used herein for proper guidance. This word is susrushu. One must be anxious to hear this transcendental message. The desire to sincerely hear is the first qualification. So the method is simple, but the application is difficult. That sincerity. Srila Prabhupada writes, with regards to hearing the portion of the Bhagavatam, they are unfit to hear. Srila Prabhupada writes, sometimes professional readers of the Bhagavatam immediately plunge into the confidential topics of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, which they interpret as sex literature. Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to be heard from the beginning. Those who are fit to assimilate this work are mentioned in this shloka. One becomes qualified to hear Srimad Bhagavatam after many pious deeds. The intelligent person with thoughtful discretion can be assured by the great sage Vyasadeva that he can realize the Supreme Personality directly by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam without undergoing the different stages of realization set forth in the Vedas. One can be lifted immediately to the position of Paramahamsa simply by agreeing to receive this message. So we may wonder how, if the Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for Paramahamsas, what are we doing reading it? But because you have to go through so many levels to come to the level of a Paramahamsa, but Srila Prabhupada writes that one can immediately be lifted to the position of a Paramahamsa by agreeing to receive this message. So just by sitting and listening in this kind of assembly, listening sincerely, it's a Paramahamsa position. We may not be fully fixed in that position, but that's why we have to go on regularly hearing. Nashta prayeshva bhadreshu nityang bhagavata sevya. By regularly hearing, then we become fixed in hearing. So that will go on for the next 3 days, Krishna willing. And it should go on nityang bhagavata sevya. It should go on eternally. That's what we do. What are we going to do when we go to the spiritual world? We're going to have a lot of fun. We got to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, or we can become part of it. So I won't say more now. Hare Krishna, thank you all for coming. I suppose more devotees will be coming throughout the day, and toward the evening many will come. So we'll have more bliss. Hare Krishna. Vanta kalpa tarubhyas chakipa asindavya vichaputitana pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Okay, I finished the class, but I didn't finish speaking. This session. I have spoken in the past on the topic of female Diksha Gurus. Now, generally in these camps we don't bring up polemic issues, but I was thinking to speak on my position regarding the ongoing controversy regarding female Diksha Gurus. I want to take a vote whether you want me to do so or not. You want me to do so? Who wants? Mostly the males, and one tentative female hand. Don't want. Don't dare to say. You can't say, I don't want. You don't want to say. All right. Okay, so I can speak on it at some point. I have spoken, like I said, I have lectures out there on YouTube about it. But I can speak about it again.